Thank you, Steve Bertrand. It's Wendy Snyder here. Bill is taking the day off, and Dane Neal is sitting in his chair.
Good to be here.
We were trying to determine off the air where Bill went. Is he in the Dells?
Do we have a low jack on?
We have a low Bill.
That's right. Or maybe even like a Bill Cam, you know, where you can kind of see where he's at all times.
Wouldn't you love that?
Maybe, but...
Oh, my God. I don't know. Bertrand, you can talk about this, too, because I would love to see the typical Bill Left day. I really would.
Okay, let's just imagine, knowing Bill as well as we do, and some of the things that make him special, make him Bill. So I think he wakes up, I think maybe a nice, sensible, very healthy breakfast, right?
No,
okay,
I don't think
maybe
he
not.
Eats.
Maybe some cereal with a cartoon character on the front of the box.
And no milk. He eats a cereal with no milk.
Wow. I think he gets up and he lays out the tennis clothes he's going to wear for later in the day when he plays.
No, I think his wife does.
Yeah. Okay, you're right. Mm-hmm.
Wrong. And then he gets his $20.
Yeah, that's right. That's a ceremony. Presentation of the 20.
He jokes around about this, but he says Terry lays out his clothes in the shape of a boy the night before.
Sure.
And I don't know if the $20 bill is sitting on the pile of clothes shaped like a boy or if she hands it to him with a little wink.
I think it's under his pillow.
I don't think I'd heard that she really does lay out his clothes.
I don't really believe that.
Okay.
I mean, he says that, but that's what I mean.
Yeah.
I would like to know. And he drives in, I would imagine, listening to Hall & Oates, the greatest hits, like Maneater. I could hear him singing along, too.
He has to have some motivational sounds.
Here she comes.
I'm fixated on the clothes. I don't think she does either.
He wears the same thing every day.
Right. She's got much better taste than what he wears.
Okay.
All right. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Do you think there's any kind of like time with the toys? You know, because for those people who know, he has a legendary toy collection, where maybe he goes in, visits, maybe gets some motivational thoughts with the toy. Right, you just walk through, maybe contemplate, you know, some packaged toys that are of great value or significance, and then you kind of have your Zen moment, harness your chi, if you will.
Yeah, I'm sure he does.
And then you head to work.
I bet he does that. Points to a couple of them.
Hey guys,
does that?
Got your back today. Gonna be a big day.
I would love to see a GoPro on him because then he comes to work. I can see him during work, so I know what he does here. He's just himself. And then what does he do later? He drives home. He usually gets lunch with his $20.
Some tennis, right?
Yeah, tennis typically. I can bet he did not watch the Bears game yesterday. What the heck is happening?
I don't know. Here's the thing that makes it, because I think the Bears and Bears fans had kind of resigned themselves to the fact that, well, the team's not going to be good, and we can talk about the best and most exciting part of the Bears Sunday would be the tailgate or whatever. And then all of a sudden they had some success, right? And some and a great season last year and a lot of hopeful. And then you had the 100th anniversary and you had Hamp and OB being, you know, more positive. I mean, there were some signs out there. So I think the expectations were so high. So it makes it even more disappointing because everyone was hoping for something big.
Did you watch the game?
I didn't. I was busy doing stuff.
Okay, so no. Mary, did you watch the Bears game yesterday?
No, I was gone all day yesterday. So I taped it, and I've decided I'm not watching it. So I saved myself
some time.
2 hours.
Bertrand?
I don't think I did. Maybe two or three plays. I tuned in. They were down 12-0, and then I went out for coffee with a friend.
Jasmine, did you watch the Bears game?
I had cheerleading practice.
Oh, my God. I watched, but not the whole thing. But I did watch. Jimmy Mack, God bless him, he sat there and watched the whole game, but he groaned and yelled and screamed at the TV for much of the game.
It seems like all the things that were right and were working
are not working.
But remember, Kevin Powell put out a tweet maybe a week or so ago where it was just, I kind of summed it up. It's like, remember when all we had to worry about, the only problem was the kicker? And now it's like, okay, well, there's that. But then
it's
there's
the
also
least of our problems.
Everything else, yeah.
I was very excited about the fall back. You get an extra hour of sleep. It was, I did not. Does anyone do it at 2 a.m.?
I mean, you would mean get up and like.
No, but I mean, in the old days, I'd be up. So you get an extra hour. Now I just woke up in the morning. I'm like, oh, I get a bonus hour.
It's nice, especially when you're, you know, already kind of half late for a lot of the things that you're supposed to do on Sunday. And someone's like, oh my gosh, it's this time. We need to hurry. I'm like, actually. You know, it's an hour earlier. So it's always been sort of a pleasant surprise. And
here's the thing, though. It's hard to know what time it is now because everything is digital or automatic, and some things switch and some things don't. Do you have that problem?
Yes.
My Fitbit switched. I got in my car. It didn't switch. I got back in my car. My car switched 2 hours.
What?
Yeah, no. I've never had that happen before. So it like bypassed where it was supposed to be and was an hour ahead.
Oh, geez.
It just wants you to be there on time.
I guess so.
Because I have a new car, and that car changed itself, and I was amazed by that. Yeah. Because the other two cars, I have to manually do it. I had to change my watch. I made a clock for my kitchen, so I had to get on a step stool and get up there and change that manually. The microwave, the oven, but everything else did it by itself.
Yeah, I think most everything, because the television, you know, whatever kind of clock that you have on and whatever service you have, and then you know your phone automatically does it. The car, yep, we got to change the car. And then the thing that set off the, oh no, we're late, was the stove. It was like the stove still had the, they don't have a smart stove. I'm sure they do. I'm sure there's stoves out now, right, that automatically change.
Yes.
And but yeah, that was it.
All right, so it's still, I know it's harder in the spring when you spring ahead because you lose an hour of sleep, and you really do lose an hour of day because you wake up and that's when you do it. It still messes with your circadian rhythms, even though we got an extra hour of sleep, and losing 1 hour can trigger mental illness, including bipolar disorder, seasonal affective disorder, and that's also known as winter depression. A Danish study found an 11% increase in depression cases after the time seasonal change. And then after about 10 weeks, you get back into the swing of things. It's frustrating to me because you'd think this would be a bonus.
I would think so. Yeah, 10 weeks, that sounds like a long time to adjust. But I think the thing that really sets it is just that it's dark all the time. You know, so if you're going to fall back, then you're going to get a little more daylight so that it's, you know, it isn't going to be dark like all the time. So you head to work, it's dark. You come home, it's dark. So now hopefully you're getting a little bit of daylight at the end of the day.
Not really. Because what, like 4:43, I noticed it was pretty dark last night.
So now it's going to be?
And then I get up at, you know, usually I get up before my alarm, and that's 5-ish. It's dark then. I mean,
it was nice to drive in the light today, though.
Yeah.
Because I've been driving in the dark.
Yeah, I don't know how to work this, but I just would like to do it every Sunday.
Has there been, are there places, I know you go down to in Indiana, part of Indiana, half of it adheres to this and half doesn't, right? Or half is on our time and half is on East Coast time. I know that in, when you get to, like, is it Arizona? Like, they do one of them or do 1 hour, but they don't do the two. Or there's different areas that kind of do their own thing. And has there been talks about
not doing it?
Not doing it all. You know, some people say, like, well, why do you got to do that? I get it because of the daylight, I guess. I think that's part of the reason. But some of the things that we do, you know, were put in place for reasons that...
In ancient times?
Yeah, maybe so, like, the farmer could have more light to work with or something, where, it, you know, it really doesn't necessarily apply to life today.
We learned last week, after doing some investigative work, Bill and I, not really, the internet helps, that it started originally because you would save energy. Because if you had more daylight, you wouldn't use as much electricity.
Gotcha.
And then the old wives' tale, too, was the farmers. They did it for the farmers. I don't think they're going to change time for them. We could ask Orion about that. But we're back. And what time is it so we can get everybody back on track? Did these clocks change? 10:15. That's what time it is right now on WGN. And big news happened over the weekend. Can I share it with you when we return?
Of course, of course.
Bill Leff is off today. It's Dane Neal in for him. And I'm Wendy Snyder on 720 WGN. Bill Leff is off today. Dane Neal is sitting in his chair. I'm Wendy Snyder. Steve Bertrand is here. Mary Vandeveld. I have some food news to share with everyone listening. First of all, I don't know if any of you are familiar with the McDonald's chicken snack wrap. Has anyone had one of those?
I have had them. I'm a fan of those. I like some of the things that McDonald's does. You know, they're sort of in the R&D team. There's got to be some kind of laboratory somewhere in McDonald's headquarters where they're coming up with different things other than the tried and true, not broke, don't fix it. I like the chicken wrap.
You can choose crunchy or grilled, and it's just a tortilla with some cheese, some lettuce, and some ranch dressing. About 260 to 270 calories. They went away. I don't know what happened. It was like a perfect thing to grab really quickly at McDonald's if you had to go somewhere and you were driving. I know you're not supposed to eat and drive, but they
That's
were
okay.
A wrap for right. gosh sakes. So they went away. And all of a sudden, I see a little sign on one of the McDonald's I go to that says the chicken snack wrap is back. So I was very excited. I think it's $2. And that's big news, but I just want to put it out there. It is not at every McDonald's.
It's kind of different, right? You think part of the strength of a McDonald's and franchises in general is that you get sort of the same thing wherever you go. So if you're in the car and you're on one end of the country, head to the other, you can always get your, you know, your Big Mac or your Quarter Pounder or whatever. But they do different things in different areas, you know, whether it's like the McRib or the sometimes they'll bring back the McDLT. Or
oh, my God, they have not brought back the McDLT.
There's been some talks.
The hot stays hot and the cold stays cold.
I always liked it because the lettuce was nice and crispy and crunchy. Right. I thought that was great. So they'll do things, and they'll even, there's been times where they've even had hot wings or had hot dogs like at different McDonald's in certain areas. And you wonder, like, who makes these decisions? If it is some
Ronald.
Sort of, well, I'm sure, right. He's the benevolent dictator of the burger. But you wonder, who decides? Is there like some big conference room, like all in favor of the chicken wrap? And then, you know, it passes, like, okay, we're going to do that. Or if there's a suggestion box somewhere, or fans like yourself or me can kind of put in the word saying, like, hey, we'd like this back if it's possible. I don't know how it works.
Well, I didn't reach out to them to say. I just was curious. It was a pretty hot seller, and it went away. And I just want to say, in the span of what is it, maybe 4 miles, the Countryside McDonald's on LaGrange Road has the chicken snack wrap, but the McDonald's on LaGrange Road in LaGrange does not. And I learned that by going through the drive-thru. I said, I called. You have it. Not at this one. So I find that very weird.
Did it seem like a question they were prepared? Yes, yes, okay. Not here.
Or she were did they seem like, irritated like, with me.
What's going on?
But the big news is I was driving down LaGrange Road yesterday, and there was a crazy backup, and I couldn't figure out what was going on, and it was a Popeyes.
Popeyes.
Oh, my God, you guys, the line was blocks long. I can't even imagine how long the wait was in the drive-thru, but the Popeyes chicken sandwich, back in action.
What is, you know, this is one of the, this is a phenomenon that is, you're not sure how much of it's reality, how much of it's hype. It certainly has worked, because here we are talking about it, and I know it's been brought up a number of times on shows everywhere, is that, I mean, what makes it better than it? Like, Popeyes is good. You know, I think there's been a renaissance of support for Popeyes, where they used to be sort of a second tier chicken kind of situation. And now you have people come out and love them Popeyes. And then if you can come up with and catch lightning in the chicken style bottle, like they have with this sandwich. But here's the thing is, it isn't like it's out there. It's almost more famous for being like missing in action. Like, I've never actually seen one. I've only seen signs on the door saying no chicken sandwich.
All right. Here's what happened with the whole Popeyes chicken sandwich thing. Back in, it was sometime over the summer, it may have been August, maybe even earlier, and they had a commercial on television talking about either the mild or spicy Popeyes chicken sandwich. And advertising is why Popeyes has come alive again, because they advertise, I like their commercials, whatever. So I see this chicken sandwich, and I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, Popeyes never had a chicken sandwich before?
They had to.
No, they didn't.
No, okay.
They never did. So my youngest son, Dylan, is like, hey, let's try one of those Popeyes spicy chicken sandwiches. So we got one, and we had it, and it was awesome. And then the next thing I know, 2 weeks later, they announced that the Popeyes chicken sandwich is here. And I'm thinking, wait, we've already had it. I guess that was the soft launch.
Oh.
They like tried it out, and then they put the advertising dollars to work. And hey, get the chicken sandwich at Popeyes, blah, blah, blah. And then it sold out.
So fast.
But that had to have been a marketing ploy.
This isn't like it's some, you know, kind of like exotic berry that needs to be kind of found in the Amazon. Is it chicken? You know, chicken's everywhere. And if you think you can't get chicken, or you can make more, unless the, you know, whatever the flavorings are need to be sourced from some kind of far off. Look, I have no idea, but I agree, Wendy. There's just no reason why you would run out.
No, but November, and I'll admit, I called Popeyes a couple times to see if the chicken sandwich was back, and they
so
said
you're
no.
You're the person calling up all the places.
I'm sure it's not just me, because they had a ready answer. And they said October 31st. And I said, oh, what a great trick or treat. I remember saying it to the guy and he just said, whatever, and hung up. So then October 31st came and went and it was not here. So then they did the big announcement. November 3rd is the day. That's the Popeye's day. Chicken sandwich is back. I can't even tell you how backed up LaGrange Road was yesterday in Countryside because why would you wait in line? Here's an idea. Wait till today.
So here's the thing, is the word is out on the street that not only is this something to eat that is that worthy of your time, but also that it's something that you should, you know, sit in line for, that you should aspire to, that you should, you know, it's kind of an aspirational kind of food product. And I think the fact that it has been difficult to get has only lent itself to having more people, you know, wanting to make those pre-calls.
Of course, you always want what you can't have.
You've tried it.
Yeah, I tried it before the hype, and it's, I gotta tell you, it's really good. It's also suspect that they debuted it on a Sunday when Chick-fil-A is closed.
Okay. Well, that makes, because Chick-fil-A is one of those, when they first came to the market, and I remember talking with them, and Kathy is the last name of the owner, and he was talking about bringing that first location to Chicagoland. A lot of anticipation, a lot of hype. People, the consensus has been that when it comes to chicken sandwiches, I think they originated it, and also it's pretty much the best. And so, have you had both, and where do you come down on this?
Like Popeye's better.
Yeah.
I really do. Okay. They're different. Apples to oranges, or chicken sandwiches to chicken sandwiches. And now a chicken snack wrap, which is back too. I don't know if that's to coincide with the Popeye's chicken shortage or maybe the reentry. I don't know. Dane Neal is in for Bill. We have a lot going on today, and I think you should stick around here, WGN. Thank you, Steve. It is going on 10:36. I'm giving the time today. I feel like such a J because our clocks have changed. I want to make sure everybody's on time today.
Yeah, so they're dependent on the Sextra, I think, helping hand guidance, mentoring on the time side. It's good.
Dane Neal is in for Bill Left today, and I'm Wendy Snyder, and I got another red light ticket. And somebody has warned me that if you get too many of them, they're not going to suspend your license, but...
I think that, and I don't know. Here's the other thing, too. And if anybody knows, 312-981-7200, maybe text in or something. I don't know if they're, it seems as though these companies are private companies that have an affiliation with a specific municipality, and then they have them there. So if it's Chicago, it's one thing, or if it's Oak Brook, it's another thing. And I don't know that they're all necessarily created equal, because you get the information, and certainly it looks as, you know, they've got a picture of your car or you, and there's verbiage in there that kind of implies that you're in trouble and that they can escalate things. I'm not sure that they can suspend your... I don't know that they can actually do that. You know?
I think Steve Bertrand is the one who told me that because he made me worried about it. But here's what happened in the past. On Ogden Avenue, there is a red light camera. It's 30 miles per hour. And I got caught once, and I saw the light flash. So every time I approach that camera, I make sure I am going under 30. Not even 30. I make sure I'm going under. And after that happened, I got another ticket. And I checked the photos that they send, and I'm like, yeah, that's my car. And you can watch the video, and I'm like, yeah, that's my car. But there were cars going in the other direction on Ogden. So I thought, there's a very good chance that they caught another car, but I was also in the screen. So I didn't want to dispute it, but I waited too long.
Or how to dispute it, because
you can contest it by mail, but then you have to request a court date, and I don't want all that stuff, and you need to bring like pictures and proof, and I don't really have anything. My only proof was I got caught once with that camera. I know where it is, and I've been very conscientious about not speeding in that area. So I thought, oh, I'm going to dispute it. I waited too long. The ticket doubled from $100 to $200. And then I called them and I said, you know, I tried to pay online. It says convenient online paying and it wouldn't let me go through. And I've been trying to pay. And he's like, well, you should have called us because once it's doubled, there's nothing I could do. So I had to pay $200. Okay. Two red light tickets right there. Wow. So now I get another one in the mail. And when it comes, the first thing I do is blame Jim.
Well, of course. At least you got a system.
I said, oh, God, this is on River Road in Schiller Park. Yeah. This is Jim. And then I looked at the date and I looked on my calendar, and that was the night we went to see Deep Purple.
Nice.
Jim drove there. I drove home. So I couldn't even blame him. It was totally me. I watched the video, and here's what I'm throwing out there. The deal to turn right on red, I guess, is you have to come to a complete stop and then turn right when there's no traffic. There's a video of me, and you can see the brake lights on and my turn signal to turn right. I come up to the line, and I didn't come to a complete stop, but I almost did. I almost did. And the camera went off and caught me, and there was no way to really dispute it because technically I didn't come to a complete stop. But the guy behind me got a freebie because I don't know how quickly the camera can reset.
Yeah, I don't know how accurate.
And he stopped less than me.
Occasionally, you know, we've gotten them over the years, and I don't know exactly how accurate it is or if you can dispute the accuracy. And Esther's, my wife, is like super, like she knows where they all are. And so she'll be, hey, there's one of these up here. Make sure you stop. So just to be, you know, sure, I'll stop like 8 feet in front of the line.
You could get a ticket for that.
Probably. So you wonder how accurate the machines are and if you can even dispute it. And I mean, I don't know.
I saw the video of me. It's my car. I can see it. My brake lights, because I'm watching it with Jim after he realized it was me.
You guys did your own people's
We did. You can go to redlightviolations.com and punch in the invoice number, the ticket number, and the license plate number, and a video of you driving comes up. So it's funny. Jim's doing a play-by-play. There's the brake lights. Yep, you're coming up. I didn't really come to a complete stop. But come on. I don't think an officer sitting there would have pulled me over for that.
Especially for a right on a... I mean, and there's just kind of common sense things that happen. And there has been statistics that say that it actually... Because people are kind of weirded out and trying to do... Or I'm stopping like 10 feet before I should and people behind can't plan, that it actually causes accidents.
Can I tell you something that's going to make you sick? Chicago can claim another title from other American cities, more red light cameras and more revenue from them than any other major U.S. city. Check this out. One of the 10 largest cities in the United States, only 4 cities actively operate red light cameras. Chicago, New York City, Philadelphia, and Phoenix. Chicago currently has 309 red light cameras in the city, according to data obtained through the Freedom of Information Act. New York City has 164. Philadelphia has 30. Phoenix has 12. We have 309. The good news is, at the peak of the program in 2010, there were 394, and I know that some of them were deemed...
sketchy?
Yes. So it's gone down almost 100, but...
And I don't know exactly, you know, all the elements of the scandal, but there was a scandal where there was, you know, they were placed in positions where it just was impossible to adhere to the law, whether it was like in a place where it was set to go off, you know, near a school and there's no way, or it wasn't near a school, but it had sort of that that setting for it. Some ways where they were catching people guaranteed.
It was a short yellow. I think that's what it was.
As careful as maybe you are, there was just no way to win. You were going to get that ticket no matter what.
Well, I paid it because I didn't want to take time off and deal with court. Kate, what do you know about red light cameras?
I know too much about them.
Okay. You and me both.
I am like totally disgusted. Because I think about that.
Did a genie just appear on your shoulder?
Like the red light camera police are at the door.
You know, actually it was telling me I need fuel in my car.
You're going to get a ticket for that.
No kidding. But I have one pending, and it went to a collection agency.
That's not
so
good.
It goes up double. I saw myself driving, and I thought, this is bullcrap, that I'm right there in the intersection on a yellow. It's not like I flew there to make a left in that. I understand about where schools are.
Yeah, I do too.
To drop your speed down to 20 miles an hour, that's cool. I'm good with that. But, I mean, just driving down a busy street like Cicero Avenue in the South, and you get this flipping thing in the mail saying, oh, you've been busted, you know.
I know. Kate, we got to run, but thank you. I guess you're also saying that it doesn't really go on your record, but it does go to collections, as she pointed out, if you don't pay. And it doubles, which is not fun. Someone says, sorry, you have to stop for 3 seconds, even if no traffic.
Wow.
Somebody says stop for 5 seconds.
Well, what is it?
Wendy, close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades. Because I stopped. I mean, I slowed down. It was the Hollywood stop.
I don't think you have to stop for 3 seconds. I was always taught you stopped until you could feel the car roll back. You know, that's when you know you're at a complete stop.
All right, well, I wasn't at a complete stop, but I really, come on.
And Steve, do you know offhand, because it's, I didn't necessarily think it goes towards your record, or that they can, even though they imply a lot of scary things, that I don't know that they can suspend your license.
No, someone says better to get a camera ticket than a police officer ticket, because the police ticket goes on your record. Okay. This doesn't.
Well, that seems kind of weird. I mean, if it's an offense, it's an offense. Right.
I don't know that it's, I mean, yes, it's an offense, but they're using it to gain money. That's really it. And they've gotten a lot of money from me, and quite honestly, I'm sick of it. 312-981-7200. We'll get into some more red light camera talk. I'm just going to give all the locations of all the ones I come across. That would help people.
That is a public service.
I think there is a website that lists all the cameras, so I will look into that. Bill is off today. Dane's in his chair. I'm Wendy at 720 WGN. All right, red light cameras. I don't know what to tell you other than be careful out there. Edwin has called us, 312-981-7200. Edwin, what do you have for us?
Well, my experience was that, first of all, it's not a judge. It's a retired judge, a retired attorney. They're a neutral status, and if there's any doubt, it weighs in favor of the court. Also, if you ask for some... I'd like a reduced fine because there's some doubt there. They recite some statute that prevents them from even reducing the fine. So wow. It's a good thing you didn't go to court because you're going to waste a day's pay, and you're going to sit there and you're going to get no result at all. And that was my experience. And I'm a disabled veteran. I pleaded all types of cases that to get my fine reduced, and I couldn't even do that.
No, and it's $100 right away. And if you don't, honestly, you have like 5 days to either dispute it or pay it. Otherwise, it doubles. So, Edwin, sorry that happened to you.
Oh, you're welcome. But that's my experience.
Well, thank you very much. Red light ticket can't go on your record because they can't prove who's driving. It's just the license plate of the car. It's not the person.
So it goes against the person who maybe the car is registered to?
Oh, yeah, that's not good either.
Or they could maybe suspend the plate. I don't know. I agree with you. I think it's more of a sort of a kind of a marketing municipal combo initiative, and then they can go. And then they say a lot of scary stuff, and so people definitely pay. And I guess the idea is to increase safety out there, but we know it's mostly revenue generation. But I wonder when Edwin had mentioned that, okay, if you do want to dispute it, you can do it. They have to give you that option, but there's no way to lower it. And then how often do they malfunction? Because let's say the thing came in the mail. It's got to happen now and then where maybe it does get tripped by another car, but they send the thing to you.
Yeah.
Or maybe it actually shows that you're not guilty. But if the whole idea is just to get more money, I don't know if you can... You know, I don't. And then here's the other side of it too. So it happens. Then how much later do you get the notice, and does that eat into the 5 days that you have to dispute?
Well, it happened on November 18th or October 18th, and I just got it last week, so it was pretty quick. And it's funny because my son Michael drives to college at DuPage every day, and he said, "Oh, I think I saw a flash. I might have gotten a red light ticket." And I said, "Did you go in the intersection when it was a red light?" He said, "No, it was still yellow." And I said, "Then I think you're okay." So when it came in the mail, I was like, "Ha ha! This is yours, but it wasn't. It was mine.
Yeah, we always do that. Whenever it comes, it's that all Sherlock Holmes. I'm like, where were you on the night of?
I know. They know your car violated a law, but they can't prove who is driving, which is why it's not a moving violation. Wouldn't a red light ticket be considered a moving violation? If so, it would go on your record. But that's right. It's not the particular driver. It's just your vehicle. And yes, I mean, you could get like a Denver boot on it. And why do they call it a Denver boot when we're here in Chicago? That's what I'd like to
know.
Maybe
a guy in Denver invented it. Maybe John Denver invented it.
Maybe.
He was often seen wearing boots. I don't know.
I think most right turns at stoplights should be a yield situation, not a stop and then go. I would like this person to be in charge of it because I agree. And I, you know, cameras are a good idea. As we mentioned, near schools, Jim has called us 312-981-7200. You're for them?
Yeah, I'm for them. Just because live out in the suburbs and all the roads out here, North Avenue, Army Trail, you see people just fly through these things. I got nailed by one, Oakbrook Terrace, and I watched the film, and it showed me going through, you know, not coming to a stop. And you know what? It's a stop sign. Like, I listen to a station. I try to do this. I come to a stop. I say amen, and then go.
Amen. I'm going to start doing that.
Yeah, but the thing is, you guys a couple years ago had tollway on, and I think they had said that they don't a picture doesn't happen when you're going through an intersection until it turns red, and then if you cross that white line when it's red, you get the ticket. If you cross it when it's yellow, it's not a ticket.
Right,
and that's where you get. All these people, accidents happen because it's red light and they just don't care and they just right through it. And
I stopped. I just didn't. It was like a rolling stop. But you know what? I learned from it. It cost me $100, but
yes.
I'll be careful next
time. Thing.
All right.
And what I learned from WMBI station, just come to a stop and say amen and go ahead.
Moody Bible Institute. Perfect. Jim, thank you so much. We're going to take a quick break. The news is coming up next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, WGN Radio. Thank you, Steve. It's Wendy Snyder here. Bill Leff is taking the day off. He'll be back tomorrow. So Dane Neal is sitting in his chair today and wearing a baseball cap. Are you doing that to make me feel comfortable?
I'm in uniform. I've got some Star Wars figurines still in their original packaging with me, strewn about, and we've got some stuff like that. So our next guest that's going to be coming on is Stacey Lynn Cripps. And one of the things that she does, so we're going to talk about this first ever Renew Grief conference that's coming up. But also, too, is when we were talking, Wendy, a little bit about it, is that so she's a spiritual medium. She does a lot with, on the celebrity side of things, but also with just average everyday people looking to connect with people from, I'm going to use the air quotes, the other side. And I'm kind of jaded and cynical. I'm not necessarily I'm open to the fact that if this is a possibility and this is out there, I have not experienced it personally myself. But you know what? When you talk to people that you know and that you trust and that you value their opinion, like real people, not an infomercial or something on the internet, and they say, hey, this is what happened to me, you take it just like Wendy. If you told me off the air that you were abducted by aliens, I'd have to consider it.
Thanks for trusting me so much.
It's for sure.
Stacey Lynn, I love this intro you're getting right now. But I will say before we say hello, and hello, by the way, Stacey, we'll talk all about this grief and healing conference. But I'm going to put it right out there. I believe in these things. I really do. I know there are a lot of skeptics out there, but I don't know. Maybe both my parents are gone. Maybe when you lose loved ones, you look to other ways and other means to comfort you. Mm-hmm. But I'm kind of a believer, Dane.
Yep. So, Stacey, talk a little bit about this, because one of the things when we sat down, and we're going to get to all the aspects and how people can get in on the conference and support themselves, not only whether it's losing a loved one, but also things like divorce and other kind of forms of grief. But tell Wendy that how it happened, because I was curious about that. Is it, one day something amazing happens and then you're in touch with the other side? Was it something you already knew? How did it start for you?
Okay, first of all, thanks for having me on, guys. And so it happened when I was actually 26 years old. My best childhood friend was killed in a car accident on the way home from college, and I just talked to her 2 weeks before, and so we had grown up from 4 and 8 years old, many, many years, and very close to her. And so when it happened, I'll say I was traumatized. I didn't believe it. I was in shock. Everything that you can experience with devastating grief, I was numb. I had a lot of experiences with my body, not feeling good, all sorts of things. And I couldn't wrap my head around it because you're so young and so vibrant. And so what happened was I said, I can't do this. I can't be here. I can't accept this. And when I said that, I think I was in a prayer type mode to God, just saying, take me out of this pain. I can't do this. And that night, she came to me in my dreams and spoke with me. I could see her, feel her, and hear her. And she came to me for a good year. And I would wake up crying because I knew it was her. I knew we were talking under this tree on this green hill. And it was so real because I felt her. And one night, she came to me. I woke up in the middle of the night. I could feel her so strong. And then the next day, she spoke to me and my ear was ringing. And she said, call my mom. Let her know that I wasn't alone in the car when it happened, that a nurse had pulled over her car and got in the car with me and was holding me right before I passed. So I called her mom, Claudia, who I knew very well. And I said, Heather's been coming to me for a good year now, and I can hear her. And I said, she told me a woman pulled over her car and was holding her before she died. And her mom said, I didn't believe them. And I said, you didn't believe who? And she said, the EMTs on the scene told me a woman was holding Heather when she passed. And I have not been able to go on with my life knowing that she was alone in that car accident when she died. And so that was my first reading, and that was actually 24 years ago. So whenever anyone passed that I loved so dearly, they came to me in my dream state and talked to me and gave me evidence. And then I would tell a family member or I would tell a friend, and it was all real. Everything was validated. Everything was evidential. And that went on for many, many years until, and I just thought it was a bond between me and my grandma, my grandfather, my uncle, a friend from work. I mean, I lost so many by the time I had this spiritual awakening in 2011 through meditation, that 7 or 8 people. And I went to this conference in New York and saw some very well-known best-selling authors, and they took us through meditations, and within meditation was the same as my dream state, and I could experience and hear and see all my loved ones. And so that's when I realized something more was happening.
Well, here's the thing, Stacey, too, is it's one thing to have that connection with your own kind of family members and feel that you're connected with them, as people would often do. But the other side of it, too, is that you're able to, like, help other people connect with their loved ones. And then there's the celebrity side, where there's things right. that I've heard and I've seen where you have people that are in whatever walks of notoriety that you're not even aware of. You don't even have any kind of knowledge of them or maybe their careers, and sometimes you're able to kind of bring them through.
Right. So it all started, my father passed away about 7 years ago, and I'd opened up really strongly spiritually about 8 years ago. And so when my father passed away, he was an Elvis impersonator singer, and I used to sing backup for him. And so I grew up with music in my house, and he recorded in the studio my entire life until he kind of left when I was 17. But what I'll say about that is that I grew up with so much music. I mean, the Beatles and Elvis's gospel, and we went to all these things that he would do, and he'd be in the jumpsuits and everything. So when my father passed away, I saw him right before he passed. He brought Elvis to me in meditation. And so Elvis was with me for very strongly for a good year or 2 years on and off, and told me he would be connecting me with his first wife, Priscilla, and he absolutely did that. So what started happening was that rock and roll heaven door opened, and all these entertainers, singers, songwriters, musicians started to come to me in meditation.
I want to go there. I want to go there with you.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Rock and roll heaven is real. And I have a backstage VIP pass. So I'll say, when Whitney Houston came to me, she was the first one who actually connected me with someone very real in her life that I was able to give a spiritual reading to from her. And she was fierce, and she was very strong with me. She was with me when I traveled. I mean, she played her songs everywhere. Pretty amazing experiences there with her. But I'll say many. Davy Jones was also a first. Jeff Healey was a first with me.
I love Jeff Healey.
Yes, he was the first one that actually connected with me in my dream state, who was an entertainer back in 2011. He woke me up in the morning. He played his music when I got in the car at the turnkey. So that's it. When they start to connect with you like that and you admire them, they will give you signs. It's phenomenal. And they will play their music everywhere. They will come to you in your dream state. We all have this gift. So we're all spirit, having this human experience here. And so we all have this gift, whether it's in our dream state, whether it's just in, like, writing. We have these, not writing, but driving. We have these meditative minutes. Those thoughts of them are real. So they're connecting with us. And I'll say all the 80s crew over there, I mean, connects with me because I'm an 80s girl. So so Prince, Michael Jackson, Whitney, they're all so strong with me. David Bowie, because I grew up in the 80s. So, and I love music. And so that started happening holistically about 7 years ago. But I have been reading for families locally and nationally for 8 years now.
Here's one
I
of the things.
St. Jude families and some others.
Well, I wanted you to mention that too, Stacey, because and I'm going to use the word crazy. As crazy it may sound, as it may sound to some of the listeners, I've seen some evidence of this, and even on the more kind of regular person side, being able to do that. And when we come back, we're going to talk about helping people. We'll talk about the conference. We'll talk about the ways that people can get involved, and also about the work that you've done with St. Jude's, kind of connecting some of those parents with their lost children, which I think is really special too.
Okay, great. Sounds great.
All right. You know what? Real quickly, what is the website for people to find out about this conference? And we will talk about it more, but just while we're going to take a break, what's the website?
It's actually renewconference.life, not com. So renewconference.life.
Okay. We will continue with Stacey Lynn Cripps in a moment. It's Bill Leff on vacation. It's Dane Neal in-house and Wendy Snyder on 720 WGN. It's Wendy Snyder here along with Dane Neal, and we're talking to Stacey Lynn Cripps, Chicago's first ever grief and healing conference. It's the Renew Conference, and it helps those of us who are struggling. And Stacey, it seems like everyone is struggling these days.
Yeah, so grief is a journey. It definitely is. I mean, grief can last a couple weeks. It can last up to 2 years. It can last a lifetime. And if you're not aware, what I'll say, of the help that you can get and access to, like, some proven effective evidence-based methods that can really help you through this, through the hard part of the grief, I mean, really the devastating grief. And so I have worked with a number of these speakers that I brought together on November 16th here at the Chicago Marriott in Naperville, that work with people that are grieving. So award-winning authors, international trauma experts and grieving experts. And these are really speakers that have really helped so many people that are going through this process. And they're going to share their experience and their expertise. I'm going to be there as well. I will be doing a talk and sharing this gift, bringing through heavenly loved ones in the afterlife in an evidential way to the people in attendance. And so it's a 9-to-5 full-day event. We have amazing sponsors that have come forward. We have the Helping Parents Heal out of Arizona, the Chicago chapter. We have the Transcendental Meditation Group out of Chicago, Hearts to Art Camp in Chicago that help children that have lost a parent. So many people have come together for this full day to help all those in grief.
Well, and your area of expertise is obviously connecting with loved ones or family or friends on the other side. But for those listeners out there, you know, grief and those challenges can take many forms, including like divorce, trauma, addiction, even loss of a job, financial challenges, health issues, depression, anxiety. So there's a lot of forms that are going to be addressed at the conference.
Yes, so we're going to address grief on so many levels because there are so many levels of grief, and it's not just the loss of a loved one. Just like you said, Dane, it is when going through divorce or losing a job or loss of health issues. These kind of things. You know, you really need someone to walk with you at these times and to support you. And so this is really going to be a community of support, not just the speakers, but also all the sponsors who are Chicago-based who are going to be helping all those attendees there. So I've been wanting to do this for 3 years, and it's finally here because I help families locally, and I also help families on the national level, because I give spiritual readings over the phone, Skype, Zoom, and also in person. But it's just a wonderful opportunity to, I mean, come and to open yourselves up to the sexual journey from pain into peace, which is possible. It's possible.
That's what I wanted you to tell people listening, because when things seem their bleakest, there is a way to get past it. And sometimes we have to ask for help, and we need help.
Yes, we need help. I mean, I know that just from being in this gift and working with so many for the past 8 years, I'll say it could be so devastating. And, you know, there's going to be a number of families here whose children have been, I'll say, senselessly murdered by acts of gun violence and violence. I've worked with all these families, and they're also volunteering, and they are coming in not just from Chicago, but other places, other like regions of the U.S., and they have experienced so much healing. So through signs from their loved ones, through experiencing them in a spiritual way, knowing that they're still walking with them, the veil's really thin between here and the afterlife.
What are some of those signs? Stacey, what are some of those signs? I've heard if you see a bird, specifically a cardinal in your yard, that someone from beyond checking on you. What are some of these signs?
Yeah, so that's one of the signs. But they're very unique to the person that you love that has crossed over. So they will bring you signs, tangible physical signs that are quite amazing, just amazing. I had a little girl from St. Jude who had passed away, and I read for her parents on the day of her passing. And her mom used to sew buttons on all of her clothes, and she started bringing them buttons in the most unique places, in like the mount of a ceiling fan that had been there for 10 years. So they're very unique signs that are represented of your relationship with them that are very real, and you can find them in the most amazing places. So their names could be right on a billboard, and you can feel chills and tingling. That's their spirit connecting with you. So they can play your favorite song on the radio. There's so many ways for these signs to show up. We just have to believe and be in observation, and we will receive the signs.
Some of the things that get a lot of attention are kind of the connection with the celebrities, but I got to tell you, is at least, you know, for me, the things that made, and I haven't experienced any of this, you know, myself, and I haven't like reached out in any ways, but friends that I value their opinion, and that's exactly it, is the evidentiary side, where there are specific things that the person can say and show that can be that kind of, I guess, evidence, right, or signs that they're with you, that they're paying attention, that they're kind of involved with your life to this day.
Yes, I had a family whose son was murdered senselessly, and he is so powerful in spirit for his mom and dad. It is amazing what this boy Jesse can do. He has put them in a situation where they did his, I think, donated non-for-profit event, and then that day they went to a restaurant, and there was a lookalike of him waiting on them with his mannerisms and things like that. It is so amazing. It is just the most amazing experience when they can set up you in these signs where you can feel them. Like, you'll be waiting on someone who has a name tag that is the same name as them. It's pretty beautiful and amazing, but you feel it. So it's not just a tangible sign that shows up. You actually feel it in your heart, and you feel their connection, and you get emotional, and you feel their love. It's those types of situations that are so healing that you know without a doubt that they're with you still.
All right, I have a question for you, and Dane, I mm-hmm. told you this off the air. You're talking about chills and tingles and feeling it in your heart. Ever yes. since we had you on the air, I did have an extra cup of coffee today, but I feel some kind of heart palpitations or something. What does that mean? Yes. Why am I getting that connection to
yes,
you?
Yes, that's a sign, too. That's a sign, too. So you can have the heart palpitations from your loved one. It means that they're coming close to you, and you can feel their love. So if you have a parent in spirit, they are connecting with you because I'm very open. So I have very open spiritual energy, and they work with the energy of me and the energy of you combined. So you can feel that. Yes, absolutely. You can also feel chills and tingling, and you can get emotional.
I know. I feel like I'm going to cry, and I got to tell you, Stacey, you're kind of freaking me out.
It's a loved one. Yeah, it's a loved one that's just coming close to you just to let you know that they love you and they're with you. And what's great about the spiritual readings is that I'm an evidential medium, so I will work with the evidence that is coming through. I mean, Spirit knows I expect a lot of evidence. I want you to experience them on such a real level that you walk away with knowing in your heart that they are with you. And I'll say, when they get over there in the afterlife, they have to learn how to connect. And so there's a lot of helpers over there, because I've been doing this for 8 years now. So that will help them to bring through, you know, evidential memories, their names of their loved ones, just without a doubt that you absolutely know I'm connected. Yes.
Yep. Yeah. It's really some amazing stuff. And we'll have some more information up at WGNradio.com, and we'll keep in touch with this. And the conference is coming up November 16th at the Chicago Marriott Naperville. You can go to renewconference.life to get more information on all of the speakers, Stacey included, and get yourself out there and see what's happening.
We also have early bird pricing until November 8th. And for early bird ticket holders, you can bring a plus one. This is my first announcement on this. So you can bring another person with you.
That's pretty great. And again, for tickets and more information, renewconference.life. It is so nice to meet you, Stacey Lynn Cripps.
Thank you, Lisa. Yeah,
or Wendy, but that's okay.
Oh, I'm feeling Elisa. Sorry. Okay, Wendy. Thanks.
All right. All right, thanks, Stacey.
Thank you very much.
Yep, you bet.
That was probably bad timing. All right. We are going to take a quick break. And I felt like I connected with her so well, too. Quick break. Eric Zorn's coming by. Dane Neal's in for Bill Leff. I'm Lisa Snyder here on 720 WGN.
Zorn, Zorn, Zorn. The greatest father in all the land. Zorn,
that's debatable.
Zorn, Zorn. Sing the
you leave my microphone off.
I did. That's how
I'm ready to retort.
All right, Bill's off today.
It's in a song. It's got to be true.
Right, like if it's on the internet, it has to be true.
Exactly.
Dane Neal is in for Bill Leff today. Bill's back tomorrow. And Eric Zorn's in for himself. Hi, how are you?
I didn't send a substitute like some people I could name.
Hey.
All right, what are we going to talk about today?
Well, I had a couple things. One is I do have the top tweets of the month of October.
I love these.
Every first Monday of every month when I come in here, I read the top 10 tweets from my Twitter feed for the past month. And should we start with that and then move on to other stuff?
Yeah, I love these.
Yeah, I really enjoy these too. And
I got to start using Twitter more.
And usually,
then you'll use one of my tweets.
I will, absolutely. And usually what we do is I just read the tweets and then Jasmine posts a link to it on your Facebook page. It has the attributions because they're these unpronounceable Twitter handles.
I could never be a teacher to pronounce kids' names, and Twitter handles are worse.
Yeah.
You know, to try and read them.
Or try to be clever or figure out some kind of
You'd be like the teacher in Key and Peele?
I don't know.
Aaron? That guy.
That was a great thing.
Yes.
Anyway, actually, this first tweet is by Jen Statsky, who writes for The Good Place. But anyway, and it's, is there rehab for gossiping? I don't need it, but I'll tell you who does.
That's pretty good.
My magic 8-ball contains a polyhedron that on all 20 sides says, you're a grown man, put this thing down.
It's still fun. Come on, if you come across one, don't you ask it a question?
Because
I do.
Signs point to yes, yeah. Fellas, if you don't know what you did wrong, do not under any circumstances start guessing.
Yeah, that's true.
This is a long one. Jesus loves you, but you said it first, and then he was way too casually like, love you back. So then you said it later that day to confirm, and he just gave you finger guns. So who knows?
Nice. This is a good month so far.
If you love something, set it free. If it doesn't come back, it probably died of sadness because it thought you loved it.
No.
Those silica packets that say do not eat are part of a conspiracy to keep us from consuming them and becoming impervious to moisture.
That is so crazy that they put that on there.
Not a toy. Really? Okay.
Well, yeah, the Tide Pods. You gotta be too careful.
I guess those are colorful, at least. I can see the excitement about eat. That.
Yeah, like you're unpacking something and you go like, oh, look, they left a treat in here for me, a sugar packet. No, I don't know.
That is so weird.
What would happen to you? if you ate that.
Let's try.
I will find out the answer to that. It's just poisonous, and I don't imagine anything would happen unless you had like 20 of them.
Okay.
I wouldn't even say that, Wendy, because you're, this radio station is going to get sued because some kid...
Well, I'm going to find out the truth, and then I can rebut what I said.
Okay, let's do that. Wendy, responding to Wendy's point, we'll be answering in a minute. Getting older is pretty much just paying bills and finally understanding why killers and horror flicks target teenagers. The only reason I ate the whole chocolate bar was to hide evidence that I ate a bit of the chocolate bar.
Oh, that's good.
That?
Yeah.
Well, you know, you get, because at first you just have like part of it, and then so like, it's mostly still there. Then a little bit later, you take that, and so then it's like you have to kind of, you got to develop a backstory there. And at some point, just the evidence that it existed at all is dangerous.
You say, I'm getting rid of this. Yeah. I'm done.
Do you know how Jimmy Mac keeps me from eating his private candy stash? He freezes his chocolate, and I think it's too waxy and don't like it frozen.
You don't like it frozen?
No.
Oh, my goodness.
In fact, conversely, I would like to microwave it. Like M&Ms, if you take plain M&Ms and you microwave them, I believe it's 38 seconds for a regular sized bag. It's like a warm, gooey chocolate chip cookie. The shell stays hard, but the inside is just so creamy and chocolatey.
Dane, you're into food stuff. That does sounds repulsive, doesn't it?
No.
Melted chocolate?
It's you know, like you a flourless chocolate cake with a candy coating.
Oh, my goodness. That just sounds...
Like flourless chocolate cake.
Well, you know what I mean? Like those molten cakes where it's cake.
Oh, the lava cakes,
lava
cake,
yeah.
I don't know. We freeze our... We have some leftover Halloween candy. We freeze it, and then we...
Snickers you can freeze. A Milky Way.
All right.
But, I mean, like, I microwaved my Big Cat Kit Kat that I stashed away. I wasn't giving that away. I don't think I'm ritzy. But I microwaved it for, like, 10 seconds just to take the chill off of it, and it was kind of just really creamy chocolate.
What's the consistency of that... you know, mysterious space age element nougat, you know, where
I think that would blow up.
No, where it's kind of like the kind of fluffy kind of candy filler kind of thing. Would it get squishy?
If you freeze it or melt it? I don't know. It seems like it's like in a plasma state or something.
When you freeze it, it doesn't get completely hard. You know, a Snickers will get like a rock. You could use it as a weapon if that's what you're into. But the kind of the nougat, like in a Three Musketeers, still stays kind of soft. You can eat it right out of the, same with the inside of a Reese's. You know, you can still eat them.
Actually, I had a frozen Three Musketeers fun size bar just last night, and it was frozen pretty solid.
Wow, so treating yourself, Eric.
I know. I'm worth it, though. So did you and Jimmy Mac discover this like too late into your marriage in order to
I think it sounds
annulment.
Like a system that works.
No, it does work, because there was some leftover fun-size candy bars, and he put them in the freezer, first of all, knowing I wouldn't look in there for them, because I wouldn't want them frozen.
Think about it.
And I didn't even know they were in there. I just found some last night. I kept seeing fun-size wrappers, and I thought all our candy was gone. And then I looked in the freezer, and lo and behold, you knew I wouldn't touch them.
Well, one of the things that's made our marriage last, we just celebrated 34 years
Congrats.
On Saturday.
Yeah, congratulations.
Is that Johanna likes dark chocolate, and I don't really care for it.
I don't either.
And so she has it around the house, and it stays there. She doesn't come and look for it and go, who ate my dark chocolate? Because it would never be me. And we didn't even discover that until after we were married, so it was pretty lucky.
Well, we're getting some interesting ways, because there is a candy surplus out there right now because of the inclement weather for trick-or-treating. Mm-hmm. Everyone has, we have a whole bag from my brother-in-law. He didn't get one trick-or-treater, and he's a big, you know, he gives people entire bags of things or the giant king-size stuff. And,
whoa. What's his address?
Yeah.
No, we got a whole bunch of stuff.
I got nothing left.
I just brought it all. I bought a whole bag into work today. I don't want it in the house. I'm afraid I'll eat it.
By the way, according to Slate.com, what happens if I eat silica gel? Nothing.
No.
It's really? A form of the naturally occurring mineral silicone dioxide, better known in its granular form as sand or in crystals as quartz.
Nothing would happen.
No.
Saying do not eat it probably is part of an international conspiracy.
Yeah.
Yes. Some people are selling it as a dietary supplement.
No, really?
Complete with new citrus taste.
Oh, get out.
That's what it says.
Wow.
So it won't, I still wouldn't eat it because it's probably not good. But
this is like public radio. We are learning stuff today.
That's a good day.
Hey, I got two more here.
Okay.
We got time for them?
Yep.
Imagine being a jolly good fellow and some jerk coming in trying to deny it. And the last one is very short. So you're saying if I fool you twice, I'm off the hook?
I think that's it. That's the standard.
I know. It's kind of
like you fool someone once, you feel bad about it, but just get in there, fool them again, and boom.
You're done. You're off the hook. Yeah. Yep. So Jasmine will post those to Bill and Wendy's Facebook page, and that's the best tweets for October. Stay tuned for the first Monday in December when we'll review
them. I can't wait.
I know. Just...
I love, this is my favorite part. This is my favorite part. Eric Zorn is here, columnist from the Chicago Tribune, one of the co-hosts of the Mincing Rascals podcast. You can find that on WGN Plus. We'll take a quick break, and then I'm going to feel like a grandma, I have a feeling.
Yes, you are.
I am very not hip. All right, it's WGN. We are at 7:20 a.m. WGN Radio. Eric Zorn is here, and he is the columnist, one of the columnists from the Chicago Tribune. I read your Sunday article, and now I can't remember what it was about.
Oh, who can? Well, the first item was about how Jussie Smollett is yet again back in the news, and Kim Fox got thrown another softball.
Last
week, the Axios people were in town, and they did an interview with her, and they asked her about it, and she was like, "Well, you know, you know what we're trying to do. We're trying to explain to people what we're doing, and we didn't explain soon enough, and so we lost the chance to explain it." And I was like, "No, you have every chance still to explain what happened here."
Now, she's not explained anything.
There's a special prosecutor going after this case now, and I think she's up for re-election in March primaries when the March primary election is when she's going to face, I think, at least two right now opponents in the Democratic primary. The winner of that traditionally wins the Cook County State Attorney's office, and I think this Jussie Smollett case is just going to hang on her.
I just am so surprised we're even still talking about this at some point.
We wouldn't have been if she had managed to extract an apology out of him.
That didn't seem like that was going to happen.
Or take him to trial and lose the case or whatever was going to happen. But it just looked like she let a celebrity go after this. And so anyway, so that was the first item. Another item that I wrote about was about this expression, okay, boomer.
I did not read, and I don't know anything about it.
This is an expression. The New York Times did a big piece on it, and I had not heard of it until the Times did. This was like last week, I guess. And they explained it to say, okay, boomer has become Generation Z's endlessly repeated retort to the problem of older people who just don't get it. It's their rallying cry for fed-up kids. Teenagers use it to reply to cringy YouTube videos, Donald Trump tweets, and basically any person over 30 who says something condescending about young people. So they just say, okay, boomer. And this is their all-purpose tweet, and there's a line of hoodies and sweatshirts.
I never heard of it.
Water bottles and posters.
Have you, Dane?
No.
And obviously baby boomer.
Well, they're going after baby boomers. Yeah, obviously baby boomers. And it's one of those things. It is like, well, we talked about TikTok, right? And this article talks about TikTok videos, that they're making fun of boomers and TikTok videos. And this is something that I try to keep up. I mean, I'm really not a crusty old man, although I play one in print sometimes. But
yes, you do.
But you know, I have an Instagram account. I don't use it that much. I was, you know, I try to keep up with this stuff, but I had not heard of this, and I had heard of TikTok, but I don't use it. But I have
Gen Z's, and I've never heard. I have two Generation Z's, I believe.
Well, they are kind of tired of our generation.
I've never heard this phrase though.
The okay boomer. Well, yeah. You're probably going to start hearing it. Although one of the things I saw on Twitter was a boomer said, "Okay, kids, using this expression, we're going to deploy our most ruthless weapon against this. We're going to start using it until it's completely uncool for you to say it anymore." And
you are so on fleek.
And that, yes, right, exactly. These expressions that become current, and then suddenly the kids realize that. I mean, that happened. It kind of happened to Facebook, right?
Yeah,
the whole Facebook phenomenon. Facebook was like, oh, the young folks are on Facebook, and then all of a sudden they realize that their parents and their grandparents are on Facebook. They're like, oh, I don't think so anymore. I know my kids aren't very active. Are your kids active on Facebook?
On Facebook, not as much. Insta is the big
Insta's
one.
The big thing,
it's kind of strange, right? Because
let's take it over.
Well, you think something as big as Facebook and as accessible and as all-inclusive that it's kind of like not broke, don't fix it. Well, if you need a social platform, there's one that does everything you need it to do. But you're right. There's like this certain, like, well, that's kind of it's not cool to hang out where your parents and your aunt is and all those kind of people. So you got to come. Because I would have thought that, you know, developing new platforms and different new social media things would be like, well, what's the point? They can all do stuff. But there's new ones coming out all the time.
Well, Snapchat was... Well, I don't know if it's still that big anymore.
Yes.
It got folded. Is it still how they... I know that you know, my kids will talk about Snap.
That's how they text. They don't have phone numbers of their friends. They text through Snapchat.
Yeah, see, and so a bunch of them are those who are listening now are saying, "Okay, boomer," and they're turning the dial.
That's all right. I'm double flipping you off.
but I wanted to start a line of hoodies and t-shirts saying, "Okay, snowflake," right? Because isn't that kind of the defining characteristic of a lot of these generations?
No, I hate that term, and I don't even know if it's accurate.
You don't think so?
No.
See, I think there's a lot of this talk about safe spaces and places where you can't.
And shouldn't there be places where people feel safe?
There should be places where people feel safe, but there also needs to be places where ideas are seriously engaged and debated, and that you can't worry about
offending people.
I think a lot of the things that have gone on, I've defended a lot of what's behind what's called political correctness. You know, it's just kind of common decency,
right?
Like you should just refer to people the way they want to be referred to, and we've spoken about pronouns on this show before. Where it's like I'll do my best to use the pronouns that people want. I'm not going to
Can it only get so far? Do you think it's a pendulum that swings sort of like to the point where I'm going to use the air quotes, regular reasonable people say like, hey, that's a little too much, and then it kind of goes back this way. As far as just how sensitive everyone feels obligated to be, I'm generally a relatively, I think, pretty polite person, and I think that that's the way everybody should be.
Yeah.
But do you think because sometimes you do see things come across, and you're like, wow, really?
Well, there was an incident at Harvard recently where the Harvard Crimson was writing about an anti-ICE rally, an immigration rally. And the students were protesting ICE, and the Harvard Crimson reporting the story reached out to ICE officials for a comment. They were doing this thing that you do when you're a reporter. You try to get both sides of the story. And the student body was outraged that they had basically dignified ICE by giving them a chance to comment, by including their point of view in the story. And they were like getting petitions and wanting the editors fired and so on. So it was one of the things where I feel like, at some point that kind of stuff goes too far, and that's where the snowflake image would
be. But is that really a snowflake? They're doing more than we ever did to push back about things they truly believe in.
Well,
I hate that term, but I really do.
But they're so sensitive about somebody else having a chance to speak and having someone else having a chance to have their point of view heard, which in this case is ICE. Now, you can say, when I'm reporting out a story, when I do a column, I always reach out to people.
They're just kids.
Yeah, but they are protesting what the work of the journalists was. I mean, they don't have to go and ask ICE what they think, but when a newspaper, when the news media tries to balance a story,
I think when you completely discount that someone else has a point of view that even needs to be like heard from or considered, I think you run into trouble, right? Where you can just be so solid about your own situation that you're unable to even consider some of I get it, and I think that it's part of some of the things that have happened where you have, and maybe it's just a few individuals within that group that's kind of sympathetic towards whatever viewpoint, ones that kind of get out there and say you're not even allowed to talk at all,
and I've certainly been accused in the last couple of years of not understanding and listening to Trump supporters well enough, and that may be true. I mean the ones that write to me usually just write swear words and stuff. It's really hard. There are occasionally, though, people will write to me and sort of try to explain, like, this is what you don't understand about the appeal of Donald Trump. And I think it's really important to do that also. So
it's important to have a conversation. Yeah. I just, but I don't like labels. I'm sick of labels. If someone's more sensitive than you, then they're more sensitive than you.
We started off with you not wanting to call me the greatest father in all the land.
And I'm a snowflake, so what are we going to do?
So here we are.
All right, he's Eric Zorn. You can read him and find him online at Chicago Tribune and listen to Mincing Rascals. Eric, thank you very much. We are going to take a quick break. News is coming up next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.